Hi, I'm Stacey Reeder. Welcome to Zen Mama and Everyday Gurus.
Hey, you guys, welcome back. Thanks for being here for this conversation, just an organic conversation that I asked Stacey to hop on and chat with me about at this time. It's February, it's Valentine's Day, but more than anything, I'm thinking a lot about love and healing in the heart. And Stacey is all about that with the work that she does in the world. Stacey's going to come back on to share more about her journey and that led her to the work that she does. But today, we're just going to talk about the power of the plants and ceremony and coming together around different practices to help us heal. And yeah, just remembering, right, what lights us up inside. Maybe you'll recognize a few lotions and potions and teas that we talk about in plants that might remind you of something that you learned years ago or would be a little more curious to learn about. So let's get to the show.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to this episode. I'm always excited about my guests, but I'm pretty excited today to just have a like honest conversation with someone who's become a very, very good friend of mine. Virtually, which I think has been the first for both of us. But Stacey was introduced to me through a friend that I met through my coaching circle, Jill Guthrie. And she introduced us. I think she knew we might connect well, but it was a group that we connected with of coaches. And then I don't know, it just sort of has organically unfolded over the last year, year and a half or so. We think we just are like-minded souls in many ways. So we continued to connect, and partly because I think we care a lot about the same things, which is the plants. I think that connects us and just about the way we move through the world. And I feel like she's, you know, maybe we knew each other in another lifetime. I'm not sure, but we're definitely soul sisters, I would say. So welcome, Stacey.
Thank you, Mary. I'm so happy and grateful to finally be here. Been wanting to do this for a long time.
I know. We've been talking about it, and I hope to have Stacey on a few times. And one of the reasons we're here to share today, she has so much that she's done in this lifetime and so many skills that she's acquired along the way. And I'd love for her to share what she wants to around that. But part of what this month's theme is, you know, healing the heart or opening the heart and about love, right? And healing. And Stacey recently held a workshop and I just loved hearing about it. And I thought she could come on and talk a little bit about that. That's one thing I hope we can spend a little time doing. And we can start there, but also Stacey, do you want to just share a little bit like where you are in the world right now, physically, and anything about your journey that you might just want to share so that people get to know you a little bit?
Sure. So I live in Atlanta, Georgia. This is where I was born and raised, but did most of my training in Boulder, Colorado. And I came back here about 2 years ago to help my mom and reconnect with the plants and the people in this area. And I am an herbalist and an integrative nutrition health coach, a personal chef, and a doula.
And love that.
I love to garden and do yoga as well.
Yeah. So great. She was just telling me it's 65 and sunny in Atlanta, and I'm a little jealous here in Vermont where I feel like it's balmy because it's 35 out today. And the sun is shining, and I'm so excited about that. So
it's all perspective, Mary. That's what you're always teaching me.
It is all perspective. You're right. But I would love to have my toes in the sand somewhere right now, for sure. Yeah. So one of the things that I recently had COVID, and Stacey was so helpful to me. Again, we've been connecting in so many ways about different things, but I got COVID, and Stacey and I we do a lot of this Marco Polo. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that app, but it's something we've begun doing, and we chit chat back and forth. And she, I really like got to fully appreciate her intuition and knowledge around healing with herbs and like what we put in our body and how we treat our body. And so you know, she immediately, like, just, you did, you just immediately were like, okay, are you taking vitamin C, or I don't know, make some warm soup. You really need nurturing. It was just like so beautiful to see that gift in you. And it awakened in me this memory. I got out my Rosemary Gladstar book, Herbal Healing or Herbal Remedies. And it's just such a beautiful way to nurture ourselves in sickness and in health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really appreciated about those conversations when you were ill, first of all, was your willingness, but also what it taught me is that nobody, especially when they're ill, wants to be given a list of 30 things to go buy in the store, mm-hmm. but it's like, what do you have around your house
yes.
that you could use? And we looked at all the different ways to do that with you. We looked at your food and your herbs, and you had your own apothecary. So you pulled those things out, and then your essential oils and your breathing and your meditation, and it's all part of the whole package, right? And so working to see what do you already have that you can just bring together and work with.
Yeah, I did really appreciate that. And I, you know, I pulled out some things that I hadn't pulled out for a while. And it was just such a nice reminder for me. And you definitely gave me more new information. And I know that's one of the gifts you share with people is like to look at their health and to sort of be able to nurture them fully, wholesomely, you know, through the herbs, though, through the lens of nutrition, right? That's really your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like to see and show people that it's not just an herbal remedy. You can actually eat it. You can put it in your food, make something with it, drink it, or cook it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Quote medicine.
Right. Well, let's talk about how you did this in your recent workshop, right? And remind me what the name of your workshop was.
It was Opening the Heart with Herbs and Meditation.
Yeah. So you had it. I saw your altar. Or do you call it your altar or your centerpiece or whatever? Yeah. And what did you have on your altar? You had rose petals. I remember that.
So I created an altar that was in alignment with the heart chakra, how I experienced the heart chakra. So I used the colors pink and green, and I didn't really think about it ahead of time. I just looked around my room and around my house and gathered items that were pink and green.
Mm.
So I used this beautiful light green scarf that I wear a lot. And I had a pink rattle that's in the shape of a woman that somebody made for me. Had lots of heart containers because I put my herbs in that we were working with in the different containers on the altar. I had some pink roses and candles and a mala of green beads. That's all I can think of, but it was some crystals, some pink rose quartz.
Yeah. So rose quartz are really for the heart,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Vibrationally, and crystals in general, right? Like around intention and
mm-hmm.
right. They carry that energetically.
Yeah. And the crystals that I have mostly were given to me or were chosen for specific reasons. I don't have a ton of them, but I do really love the ones that I have. And I love having an intention in, you know, it's another way of, for me, people pull cards or do meditations or have writings or sayings. And I use all those things and plants. Mm-hmm. And I also like having the rock, the earth, you know,
yeah.
I feel like it's really symbolic.
Yeah. Pulling in the elements.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you also had, so people made food. Tell us, I know like you mentioned that you had chocolate. Did you take rose petals and dip them in chocolate?
No. Oh. But I,
how did you do that?
In my workshops, I like to have, because I'm a personal chef and I'm a nurturer, I love to always be feeding people. I think it's part of the way I grew up in my culture. I want people to be taking care of themselves throughout the whole class. So eating whenever they want, it's not a specific get up and eat time. It's like always have food on your plate. And I'm always passing things around, which was a little different with COVID, but I like to, in these classes, have foods that are using the plants that we're talking about. So I had a couple of hawthorn vinegars that I had made. So I made deviled eggs using the hawthorn vinegar in the recipe. And I'm laughing because we did rose hips and rose petals as well in this class. And they're not, rose hips and rose petals aren't very conducive to savory foods. But I was like, I'm just going to try this. So I took rose hips and I soaked them and I topped each egg with one little soft rose hip. But by the time it got on there, they're very, very tart. Like, so it was a very odd combination. But by the time they had been soaked and put on the eggs, they looked pretty. And then I did a dip, vegetables and a dip, just a vinaigrette, with, again, using the Hawthorn vinegar. And then the chocolate was just melted down dark chocolate. I had some stevia in it and coconut oil. And then really you just pour it on a, I'm giving away all my secrets. You pour it on a pan and put it in the refrigerator. That's all it is. And while it was hardening, I sprinkled dried rose petals all over it.
Beautiful.
So, yeah. So I love you get that. A little flavor of the rose. I've done it with lavender. I've done it with lots of different things, but I felt like it was such a heartful thing being chocolate and roses together.
So. I love it. Just thinking about it warms my heart. So let's talk about the principles though, like Hawthorn berry. Tell me about that. Like, why would you bring that to a heart opening?
So in this heart opening workshop, I wanted to appeal on all levels, on the spiritual level, on the emotional level, and also on the physical level. Mm-hmm. So Hawthorn berry is first of all, the Hawthorn tree grows almost everywhere. I don't think it grows in South America, but it grows in North America, Europe, Northern Africa. I'm not sure about Australia, but it grows almost anywhere. It's in the same family as the rose and as the apple. We also had apples at the workshop. And if you came to me and told me something about your heart and you wanted an herb, that would be the number one herb I would always pick. Hawthorn berry is so nourishing for the heart. It's good for cardiovascular. It's good for cholesterol. It's good for high blood pressure. It's good for so many things on the physical level. And of course, I'm not a doctor. I couldn't prescribe, so to speak. I would say consult your doctor, make sure it's okay. But in my work, I have never seen an interaction with any medication for the heart with Hawthorn. It's a very safe plant. So, and it can be used in many ways. I had a tea. I always have a tea, and that was on the altar as well, made of Hawthorn berry and rose hips, rose petals, lotus flowers, and a little cinnamon. And so we drank the Hawthorn, and then as they were leaving, they made, or before they left, their creations were making a Hawthorn vinegar, and I had some other things they could add to it if they wanted. They also added rose hips and rose petals. And then I had a Hawthorn with brandy, and they could add orange peel, cinnamon, cardamom, vanilla, or none of those things, and rose petals. And the deal is, in 4 weeks, I'll remind them to strain their brandy, and then they're going to add honey to it, and that makes an elixir. So basically, it makes a really lovely tonic for the heart, and it tastes good, and that you can't overdo it. I mean, usually I say take about a half a teaspoon 3 times a day, but it makes a delicious thing. You could put it on frozen yogurt, or you could put it on your pancakes, or just take it.
I love that. So would people take it? So you're saying even for physical health, but if someone were just taking it, like if your heart chakra, so people that aren't familiar, chakras are these energetic vortexes that we have in our body, and they're have to do with our energetic subtle body. And when we have congestion, maybe in our heart, or we have things we're healing, I mean, it's all relative to this journey that we're on. We might armor up when life gets challenging, or have grief from loss. So even in that sense, you would maybe suggest they take that half a teaspoon a few times a day to help heal the heart.
It is, that is true. I read some of the folklore about Hawthorn, and about roses, and they both are for the heart on all of those levels. If you came to me with grief and loss, I might choose a different plant just because there are other things that come to mind.
Okay. Yeah.
And it would kind of be intuitive to what that person specifically is going through and me seeing them. But Hawthorn is always a reliable herb for the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of these things can, even though you're on maybe prescribed medicine, it can help enhance that.
This one does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so maybe you have to take less of that medication, or like there's some herbs you can take for depression or anxiety, right? And sometimes it can help people wean themselves off from the Zoloft or the Prozac or the, you know, pharmaceutical they don't want to be on. So,
in fact, we use the Blue Lotus flower. That's not one I've used very often, but speaking of intuition, when I was getting my herbs together for this class, I was really drawn to the Blue Lotus. I've never used it. It's a beautiful, I don't know if you've seen it.
They're not familiar.
Blue flowers. I'll show you one another time with the yellow center, and they're just gorgeous, bluish purple. And I was felt so drawn to it. I looked it up and it actually is for anxiety and depression.
Oh,
so
really?
I added it to my infusion and the tea.
Does that grow around you?
It does not. I'm not sure where it comes from, to be honest.
Okay. It's something you'd have to purchase.
It's for the third eye chakra. Yes. I purchased most of the herbs for this particular class.
Yeah. I know when you talked about making those eggs earlier, you had talked about putting lemon balm on top, which I know maybe you didn't end up having some. You thought you had some growing outside your house. Maybe you ended up going with a rose bud, but a rose hip. But that sounded delicious to me.
And that's funny you brought that up. The reason I didn't go with it, and it would have been delicious, lemon balm is so great for actually for sadness and for a depression. It's very calming and soothing. Mm-hmm. But the reason I didn't is because it's in a different family. And I really wanted to, I mean, I did bring Blue Lotus in just for the infusion, but I decided this class were more beginners and it was more an introduction to my work on many different levels, not just the plants. And so I tried to keep it in terms of the knowledge I imparted, the things we studied to those three plants, to rose and rose hips.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Simple, I know. But lemon balm would have been great.
Yeah, that sounded good.
I'll have it in my spring class for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That would make sense. I know lemon balm, I have a lot of, because you don't have a little of lemon balm, it takes over your garden. That and peppermint. Yeah. But I love them so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds so good. And I also remember when I was taking an herbal healing class, you know, they said like get five herbs that you pick five, because there's so many, right? And get to know them really well. So you don't have to like know all the herbs out there, but just a handful even. And I also love how you are saying, and I hope people are hearing, there's so many ways to use them. Like you're drinking a cup of your tea from your class right now. It looks beautiful. You have a beautiful little tea mug.
I feel like drinking tea is almost for me a ceremony every time.
Yeah.
I like to have a pretty mug and the yummy tea. And this is the honey that actually was given to me at a ceremony in Colorado in December, and it's a rose petal honey. It's lovely. I wanted to go back to something you just said and now I forgot what it was.
Five herbs maybe.
Yes. I love that concept. That's exactly how I learned and how I teach. In Colorado, there's lots of herbalists and there's lots of plants growing there. And I remember going to my first herb walk there, and this amazing woman who is very well known took us on this plant walk, and oh my goodness, she probably named about 200 plants. I mean,
oh wow.
And it was amazing to hear them all, but I was very overwhelmed. And then the woman that I've studied with for 20 plus years, we would learn them a plant, like you said, and see it in every season, because it's not just when the lemon balm comes up in the spring. It's also, what does it look like in the winter? And what does it look like when it blooms? And what does it look like when it dries up? All those are important aspects. Yeah. So I love that you learned it that way. It's really how the Native Americans taught to sit with a plant for every season. And there's
I love that.
And so I'm
going to sit with a plant for every season.
Mm-hmm. And I could name a lot of plants probably, but I know a lot. I mean, I know several very well. I don't know how many I know, but I know the names of a lot more. You know what I mean? Over the years, I learned a lot of plants and I have a lot that I work with, but I do feel like get to know them very well.
Yeah. Love that. There's something else I was going to come back to also, but I'll remember in a minute. So you did, you kept it really concentrated around these three herbs, which is great. What about rose hips versus rose petals? I mean, so they're the same family.
It's the same plant. So when the flowers die, Then they turn into the fruit, which is the rose hips.
Okay.
And inside the rose hips are the seeds. So if they're left on the bush, then they'll reseed. But they also feed the birds and the bears. Bears love roses when they come out of rose hips, when they come out of hibernation.
It's such a beautiful circle of life, plants, you know, the phases they go to and how it feeds back into the earth. It's, I don't know. I just, this stuff just warms my heart talking about it, or it's like a coming home almost. I just wonder, like, if so many of us knew at such a different level at some point in time when we were living closer to the earth, you know?
I agree. Yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons that I came back to Atlanta is the house that my mom was living in, and now we've moved out. It was the house I grew up in as a little girl, and behind that house are woods and a creek, and that's where I learned most of the plants that I know. And I would gather the berries and come in and make pies, and you know, if we could always live that childlike way and have that confidence and that joy and that blissful spirit, wouldn't that be wonderful?
I know, and it's such a, I mean, it's such a simple level, which I think so many of us are longing for right now, honestly. I mean, I was actually talking, I had a patient today that he came into the hospital for a procedure that I do. And he's like, he was probably in his mid 30s, but he's like, I'm a hippie. Like, I do not like being here. And I wouldn't say he was, however you want to define hippie, he called himself that. But he basically said, you know, I raise my own food. I pretty much like stay on my land. And we were saying how, like, it's just come full circle. Like, I grew up canning everything, you know. My mother had big gardens, we put up a lot of stuff, and then, you know, then we began to go, and even when I, you know, first had my family, I did a lot of that. And baked, you know, loaves of bread, and, you know, froze them and made soups every week. And then all of a sudden, like, we just were so about convenience, right? Because life got faster and busier. And so then we kind of gave into that. But I think there's so much richness in our health and well-being around, not only, like you said, I'm giving away the secrets, making my chocolate. And I'm thinking, yeah, but the love at which you pour into your chocolate makes your chocolate so unique, right? Oh. And when we make food in that way, it's different than picking it up on the way home, or, you know, and we gave it to each other. And that was such a comforting, and I think that's why when I wasn't feeling well and you were like nurturing me in that way, it just felt so loving, you know, and it was so intuitive to you. But for me, it was like, oh, she's like calling me back into my kitchen, you know, to dig through my apothecary and see what I'm like, I have milky oats. And you're like, I wouldn't use milky oats right now. You know, it was just really fun to help me remember, you know, because I intuitively think I do know a lot of that too, but I think I had just stepped away. And I don't know, I just like making like fresh jam and putting that on bread you've made, like those are just like simple pleasures and gifts that we've just gotten away from.
They are. And Mary, I did not grow up like that at all. I wish I had. I think, again, I must have had that in a past life. I mean, my grandmother was an amazing cook, and she had a garden, a small garden. So I did not grow up learning that. But I grew up yearning for that. I mean, I think in my bones and in my blood. And I feel like that's what we're here, is to remind each other when we are ill or when we are tired, when we are stressed. You do know those things, and you do know how to make those things. I was just the whisper in your ear that.
Yeah, up to it is such a gift. Oh my goodness. Well, Cece, I think I threw this question out to you sometime over the last couple of days, but I don't think you ever responded. And I was like, where you got that influence. Cause you said like someone was in your class that was a gardener, and you're like, she held her hands out for you to give her something. Yeah. And you're like, she had like dirt in her creases of her hands. And I just loved that. And I thought, what was like, and you said to me, like, I'm just the happiest when my hands are in the earth. And I know you don't come from a family that's like that. So I was like, maybe your grandmother or.
I mean, my grandmother was a green thumb, and she was a baker, and I used to sit on her counter, and I can still remember it, while she baked. And I did learn some cooking from her, and I loved to be with her. She had a whole room of African violets, and she was outside watering and things, but I don't remember seeing anyone. My dad was a green thumb, but we didn't grow our own vegetables. I don't really know where that came from, except being in the woods as a little kid. It just felt so comfortable. It felt more normal for me to be there than in the house. I think as an adult, when I created my own gardens and learned about gardening, it just felt like I already knew what I was doing. I mean, of course you have to learn. It's always trial and error. I don't know what I'm doing. I just play around with it and I know what worked last year. And that doesn't mean it's going to work this year. I'm not a very controlled, organized gardener. I like to just throw some seeds and plant things together and kind of make a painting of it. I love that.
I like that too. Nice.
But your art feels very natural and it is very nurturing for me. And I love the whole growing, planting, growing, and then using those foods or plants for either medicine or meals. I mean, it just, and to a person, it just feels so important.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that, you know, I always end my podcast saying, don't forget the power of the plants. And that's because, you know, I, as many of us women, I can only speak for women because I am one, that we grew up and food got confusing because of our body image, right? And we really starved ourselves of enjoyment because we were trying to aspire to something that may have been unreasonable, but we thought we needed to show the outside world to be accepted, loved, whatever. And so to begin to, you know, turn, and as I have grown into this understanding of like nourishing myself in a way that, you know, brings beauty from the inside out, right? And that gives my body what it needs in that moment, which might be different than what I needed 5 years ago, but to honor that and to also realize it's fuel, it's medicine. And when we can look at our food that way, it changes the whole experience. You know, I have some people that are like, I think, look at me and they're like, oh, I could never do that. I could never like be plant-based or whatever. And I was thinking today as I was walking into work about, I was like, I love the way I eat actually. Like, you know, I do. I really enjoy because I feel good. Right. That's the difference. I know. And not that I'm like 100% like a good eater, because I overindulge just like everybody else. And then I don't feel good. And then, but I know how to feel good. And that becomes my association with food. And that has been healthy for me. And having actually Stacey in my life has been really valuable because I am a pusher of my edges. And she says to me, even since I've had COVID, she's like, because I jumped in the snow the other day because I was doing a little cool therapy. And she's like, that's fun, but do you really think that's what your body needs right now? And I mean, I so appreciate it, Stacey, because I'm like, I don't. I'm always just like grabbing for the next thing, not always being mindful about like what's called for now. So you've been such a gift to me.
Part of it. Well, thank you. I think that's part of it. When we make choices, it's trial and error. And I always say, I mean, you could say it about your activity and actions as well, but I always say my intention, I don't always do it, is to eat for a purpose. Like, am I going to go to speech tomorrow? Should I be eating dairy, which is going to make me congested and have to clear my throat throughout the speech? You know what I mean? Or am I going to go climb a mountain in the snow in Vermont? Should I just have a smoothie before that? Probably not. I'll bonk and not have the energy. You know, so what is going to serve me best for what my activity of the day is? And same with what you were, you know, maybe it was okay. It was okay for your body. I'm just an outsider in Atlanta. I don't know.
I know. She's like, I don't even know how you go outside when it's that cold. So it makes me pause and think.
Yeah, we have each other to bounce ideas off of. And we all also, just like coming back to my workshop, it was about coming back into our hearts and trusting our own intuition. So maybe it wouldn't have worked for me as a Southern girl to jump in the snow after I had COVID, but maybe it was wonderful for you. And you know, there are definitely cold therapies that are healthy and helpful. So
yeah,
who am I to know?
No, but you do make me pause and go, why am I doing this now? And is that, I mean, it actually has helped me a lot. A friend just asked me to go for a long hike this weekend. And I'm like, I don't really think so. You know, it's taken me a while to kick back since I had COVID, you know, it's been a couple weeks. But, you know, for anyone out there that's walking this journey, I mean, I didn't get super sick, but sick for me, you know, and the energy has just really pulled me out. and taken me a while to build back. I just think on top of 2 years of riding the waves of the pandemic anyway, and all the changes you and I were just talking about, like a little bit of PTSD that maybe we all have. Mm-hmm. You know, I just noticed that. All the more reason, right, to look for these natural.
How can we nourish ourselves in the with the PTSD? It doesn't mean we have to change everything, but what's one thing that could support that? Even if you have to keep being on as a mom or as a caregiver or as a nurse or whatever your life is, what's one thing that can serve me better that I can do differently? Because those are the things that are going to stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So back to your workshop, which was an opportunity to bring a group of women, ended up being all women, right, together to nourish them, to talk about the power of the plants. You did a meditation.
I did a meditation. And that was really wonderful because I've been meditating for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, but it changes. It's changed a lot over that time. For me, it's just finding stillness, and it can be in so many different ways, but really just closing my eyes and breathing and just focusing on my breath. I mean, it always comes back to the breath. You say that too, Mary. And so this was a room of people that mostly were not meditators. Some were. And so I combined a lot of meditations that I do and word choices and breathing. And it was interesting because they were all over the room. You know, we started out in a circle, but I asked people to get comfortable, and probably with COVID, people wanted to be far apart. So I walked around the room speaking. I've never really done that before. And it was really wonderful. I could feel the energy change and people just kind of nestle in and relax. And maybe for the first time, who knows?
Yeah. It's nice to be guided.
Yeah. It's just always nice to take a break, to take a little break for ourselves and breathe and feel what it feels like to be in our bodies.
Did you have them drop into their hearts during that meditation, their attention in their hearts? Yeah. And which just takes courage.
Yeah. And I said, allow whatever comes up to come up. Might be feelings. It might be thoughts. It might be memories, and just let them go on by and just stay focused on your breath. And
nice.
I think it went well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know you got a lot of, I know that it's a gift what you share, and I know that you got some nice feedback from people about that. And then they went home with gifts.
Yeah, it was really fun. So they, like I said, they made the vinegar, they made the honey, not the honey, I'm sorry. They made an herbal vinegar. They made an herbal tincture with brandy that then will turn into an elixir when they add the honey in 4 weeks. And then they also made bath salts. So I had dried rose petals and sea salt and baking soda. And then I had rose oil if they wanted to use it. I kept that really simple too. A lot of times I'll have lots of different oils, but I thought they may not like rose oil. Rose is a strong smell that some people don't like, but I thought I want to bring something else into this class.
Yeah.
Let's just keep it focused. So they could choose not to do the oil. But it was fun because the Himalayan sea salt, you know how it's pink.
Yeah.
So the bath salts were pink.
It was so nice. Pretty. That's so pretty. Nice. Yeah. And you could put some, and you had petals in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Rose petals. So pretty. Yeah. It's pretty easy to make your own bath salts. I make all my own lotion, and I gathered some roses this summer, rose petals, and made some rose water because you use water in it with just like a coconut oil or actually I don't use coconut. I do use a little coconut oil, but I use, also a drier oil, like a almond or grapeseed oil. Olive oil's too greasy, and a little beeswax. And it's just like, it's so magical. Like you melt the oils, right? A little lanolin in there too. And then you mix the aloe and the water. And then once it cools, after you've heated up the oils, you cool it down and you put it in, it's in a blender, and you pour the water in, and it's just like this magical transformation. It moves from this, you know, separation to this beautiful white cream. And it's really, that's a recipe from Rosemary Gladstar, but right, we don't want to put anything on our skin that we wouldn't eat.
And I actually brought a sample of my lotion because I also had made an oil last summer with some calendula that I grew.
Oh, nice. And calendula is beautiful
flowers.
And it has, yeah. It's got a nice healing property.
It's really great for skin. I mean, that's another conversation, but that's my number one skin, you know.
Okay.
All of my oils that I make, well, 99% have calendula in them.
Okay. I
have calendula and chamomile and rose and lavender, the oil itself. But then when I strained it, then I mixed it with the things to make the cream, but I used some rose water. I used a rose hydrosol. So it's in mine is rose and tangerine. So I passed that around.
Oh, nice.
I agree. It emulsifies. It's like, it's kind of the same as mayonnaise where you mix the oil and you mix the water and these two things that oppose each other mix together and emulsify and make this beautiful thing.
I know. It's definitely more as I age, it's and my skin needs more moisture. It's been really great. I really like, I've tried other facial lotions when I've run out and it just doesn't keep it as moisturized, I guess. Yeah.
I love that you make your own. That's so wonderful.
Yeah. Well, so part of what you, I also just want to share with people part of what you do. Like you've done a lot of, she's done a lot of things. And we'll have her back to talk about all of them. One is that I do want to, if you don't mind sharing what you did at the recovery center, because I that was really interesting to me. It's a substance recovery center that she worked at. Go ahead and as a nutritional.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was a nutritional coach. I was a nutritional consultant with all of our outpatients at our outpatient program for alcohol recovery. And so each of our patients worked with a life coach, a nutritionist, a personal trainer, and a therapist. And they got to do that every week. They had appointments with each of us. And I worked with them on their food, but also with herbs. And also, I know we're going to talk about this another time, with amino acids, which are really important for brain health and recovery. And that amazing results with people.
And that's so great. Like it's such an important part of our foundation of health. And it's great to have places recognize it. I know Sana, where I work, is doing some work with nutrition, but there's so much more that we could do. But you did it, they're also residential, but you did it with people at an outpatient basis for a longer period of time and you'd help them shop even, right? And
ours was that one was just an outpatient program.
Yeah.
So I met with them once a week for about 8 weeks. And yes, in the middle of those sessions, about the fourth or fifth session, we would go to the grocery store and I would do a tour with them about choices and just give them the tour of the grocery store and how to make different choices as opposed to what they were eating. I was really mostly trying to encourage whole foods and vegetables and more fruits and protein, and to teach them that eating is, I mean, what I learned is keeping your blood sugar even throughout the day is the best way to stay sober and not create cravings. It's very interesting.
Love that. Really interesting. Sometimes the simplest things have the biggest impact, but we're looking for like these big wow solutions, you know? And that amino. So we will talk about aminos more, but just I knew nothing about amino acids. And Stacey's opened my eyes to how they can help in recovery with depression, with sleep. I mean, there's just, let's save that conversation for next time because I think it deserves some time. And I want to learn more about it too, for sure. So we've shared some good stuff. I hope it's got the people listening, like being a little more enticed about what foods they might have in their pantry that they might want to get rid of and those that they might want to bring in more. I don't really mean get rid of. We didn't talk about getting rid of food. I don't know why I said that, but maybe lean more, adding in. And just, you know, I think just our intention and our awareness are powerful things, you know, and it's not like Stacey and I don't drink coffee. I have a cup of coffee every day, but I also have a lot of tea.
And you also have a lot of greens every day and a lot of minerals and a lot of good nutrition.
It's a balance though. But, you know, I just think the healthier we can have, you know, from a food perspective, just the healthier relationship, but there's a lot, it's complicated. And I get that. So I think what we just wanted to share, I wanted to share Stacy and her knowing around some of these, around the plants, and also make, you know, hopefully inspire a few of you to become a little curious about how you can help build your immune system, especially right now, right? We're talking about love and opening our heart, but there's a lot. Maybe our next one will be around immunity too, and amino acids. That would be great.
But how better to love ourselves than to nourish our bodies and to strengthen our immune system and to feed ourselves well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stacy, tell everyone what else you do. Like, you do nutritional, you do not nutritional counseling, but tell about what the counsel, what you do, what you offer for services.
I do integrative health coaching. So I do one-on-one consultations. I work with people individually and in groups, but my focus is on food allergies, recovery and addiction, nutrition with recovery and addiction, and also birth, postpartum and prenatal, and the whole journey of birth. Those are my specialties. But I also do a lot with herbs. We do plant walks. We make medicine. I enjoy working with people on mindfulness. I have lots of tools in my toolkit.
Yeah, it's a wraparound sort of approach. But I will say too, and I know you're not a COVID expert per se, but you do know a lot about the immune system, and you were really helpful to me. And I would think that would be a consultation you might offer to people that are recovering from COVID that want a little help remembering what their body needs.
I would love to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, and how can people find you?
Well, my website is under construction. I don't have a website right now. It's a new thing for me. But you can always email me at stacyreader@gmail.com. Or find me on Instagram at Stacy Cooks. My name is spelled with an I.
We will have her links in the show notes also. And that website's under construction, so we'll throw that in there too, that link, once it's up. But Stacy, thanks for coming on today and just having this very organic conversation. I love chatting with you.
Thank you so much, Mary. You know I love being with you as well.
Yeah. We will see you next time, because I know you're going to be back.
I'll be back. And I'm right with you on Remember the Plants. Power the Plants.
Power the Plants.
So that wraps up another episode of Zen Mama and Everyday Gurus, of which you are one. And thank you so much for being here. I think our stories are powerful. They connect us and they make us stronger, right? Collectively, we can move forward and heal and find our way, find our North Star, and then maybe shine the light on the path for somebody else. Another way you can support this is to send me a rating, a comment. Those things help. If you know someone that might enjoy the podcast, please share. And you can also find Zen Mama and Everyday Gurus on Instagram and Facebook. And also, I have a personal Instagram, Mindful Living VT, which is more around my coaching and guiding and inspiring, and some of the other offerings that I have. Additionally, my website is marystreeter.co. You can find some other things over there. So thanks again for being here. Have the best day. Find something to celebrate. And don't forget the power of the plants.